Well, happy Father's Day, TNC family. From my home to wherever you are, I'm very excited for today because we're in for a fun and meaningful and memorable time right now, one I believe that we're all going to be really grateful for when it's over. And I want to start with this. It's still a little strange, a little odd to be in the middle of June and we have no baseball. And the NBA Finals are supposed to be now. And we at TNC are supposed to be at a Braves game today. Laughing, loving, living, singing, doing the wave, cheering as Ozzie Albies leads off the game and Ronald Acuna hits a dinger in the ninth, driving in Freddie Freeman and Dansby Swanson. Because since I've been leading this church, it has been our tradition to not have a typical Father's Day service on Father's Day, but instead to all go to a Braves game together, something we've done now for a decade. In part because it's summer and it's great to get outdoors, in part because so many of us are big sports fans, in part because it's just so much fun to be together in that environment, and in part because many of us have stories and memories of throwing a baseball with a father or grandfather, an uncle, or another father figure, or watching a game with them, or even going about our business and hearing the sounds of the game they are watching in the other room. But today, obviously, there is no baseball game to attend because, well, life has thrown us a curveball. And it didn't come across the plate into our wheelhouse either. It came in high and tight. We got some chin music, got brushed back by it. And some of us, we even feel like we got beamed. And let me be clear, I don't want to trivialize these times by that metaphorical language, but I do think that as we celebrate Father's Day today, that the language of baseball can remind us of the best aspects of fatherhood. And we need strong, moral, godly, humble male role models more than ever. So whether you're feeling stuck on the bench, in the hole on deck, or at the plate this morning, whether you're ahead in the count, behind in the count, or even if you're facing the payoff pitch, today's a good day to honor fatherhood and to remember the high calling of leading by example. Now, obviously, no dad is perfect. I'm a dad and I'm far from perfect. And I'm guessing you've made an error or two as well, because life's not predictable. Some days the ball comes at you like a can of corn. Other times it's a frozen rope. Sometimes it's a fly ball or a foul ball. Other times you're chasing a blooper or a seeing eye single. Sometimes it's a situation you did not even create. It's the ball took a bad hop and ate you up. Or you were in the bullpen and you inherited some ducks on the pond. You were called to the bump to save the situation. Which means you've got to focus, watch for the signs, check the runners, and execute the stretch windup. And even then, you can throw a perfect pitch, a heater on the corner, but the ump calls it too high or too low. Or maybe someone else is stealing signs. Or sometimes they're just too good. And so you got to tip your cap to them because you gave up a run or two and you lost the lead. But even then, you have to have hope because you have last at bats. You've got the bottom of the inning ahead when you can step up to the plate, refuse to swing at that outside pitch, maybe sacrifice to advance the runner. Or maybe if you wait on your pitch, you can hit it on the sweet spot. Find a gap, find a hole, hit a single, and driving a run. Because very rarely do you have an opportunity to hit a walk-off grand slam. Plus, that's not what's always needed. Because you're on a team and you're not alone. Someone has gone before you. They've set the table, and so you just need to make contact. Because there's always a little room in left field. And if you make some contact, well,
a lot of room in right center. If he hits one there, we can dance in the streets. The 2-1. Swung, line drive, left field. One run is in. Here comes Green. Here's the throw to the plate. He is safe. Braves win.
I love it. And so, we've struck out today on going to a game, friends. But I want to say, we can still advance the runner, avoid the double play, and refuse to get caught looking this Father's Day. And to that end, here's how the rest of our time together is going to work. Instead of hearing from me, we're going to hear from five men. Will, Torrance, Taylor, Christian, and Jeff. And in that order. And they don't really need introduction here because many of you know them. And if you don't, then here's what you need to know. They have been and are part of our church community, and they have and continue to bring important joy and wisdom and influence to all of us. So whatever your experience is with fatherhood, my hope and prayer this morning is that there will be something said that the Holy Spirit will use to encourage you and to strengthen you. And to that end, I pray that you will soak in every word they share.
Good morning, this is Will. For Father's Day, I'd like to share a lesson my father taught me. He was born in the 1930s. This group was endearingly known as the Silent Generation. This was the generation between the Greatest Generation and the Boomers, of which I belong. Characteristics include discipline, values, and most importantly, a strong work ethic. This generation considered employment as a privilege, and they brought this passion into the factories of the Industrial Revolution. The early 30s saw the Great Depression, and later, World War II came to our doorstep. These were the lean years, and as a result, shaped the character of many of this generation. My brothers came along in the 1950s and me in the 60s. What a rebellious group we were. Everything the establishment was telling us was questioned. We liked rock and roll, which my early Christian school must have certainly thought was sinful. We were night and day apart from my parents' generation. We thought my dad was too rigid, which I attributed to his military background. He attended Marion Military Institute in high school and graduated from the Citadel Military College in South Carolina. During his time at the Citadel, he made extra money as a barber. Later, as a very frugal parent, he would give his three sons a haircut using his barber kit. He only knew one cut, the military-style buzz cut. As 1960s revolutionaries, my brothers and I were reticent to partake in getting these haircuts. My brothers were older and managed to steal away during haircut time. But I was always caught. I played around the yard and could get kidnapped for a haircut. I told my dad it wasn't fair. I wanted to grow my hair like the Beatles. He told me life isn't fair and I better learn this lesson sooner than later. He told me when he was at the Citadel, he would sometimes have to remake his bed because an upperclassman would randomly pick on him and throw his items on the floor. They could be woken up in the middle of the night and sent to the march around the quadrangle in the rain. The lesson he was being taught was that life isn't fair. On his way to becoming a military leader, he'd better learn to accept this fact and quickly move on. Otherwise, he may hesitate and risk not only his own life, but the lives of his troops. When I was around 10 years old, he told me that I was old enough that he didn't have to babysit me and I could go fishing with him. I loved it. For the next few years, we'd fish on the weekends and we'd work on his old Jeep that was constantly breaking down. I learned so much about cars, replacing the starter, converting the generator to an alternator, or whatever needed repair. We were bonding. I had a wonderful childhood until my freshman year in high school. That's when I learned he had leukemia, and by the time I graduated, he was gone. This was a hard blow for me to accept. I had faith in God that he would pull him through. However, it wasn't meant to be. I wondered if God cared about me at all. Eventually, I realized that it must have hurt God to know that his son was tortured to death, even though he had done nothing wrong. And if we are his children, we must learn our own lessons, and he must not spare us from learning. He must want to intervene, but he cannot fight our battles for us. Today, my father and mother are together again. I hope they check in on me and think I'm doing a good job with my wife and kids. If my dad were here today, I would thank him for teaching me a valuable lesson to not get stuck in quicksand when life isn't treating me fairly.
Good morning, church family. This is Torrance, and I feel honored for this opportunity to share some words. Father's Day has always been celebrated as far back as I can remember and beyond. As a child, I was taught to honor my fathers both in heaven and on earth. I have done so, but not always to the best of my abilities. Nonetheless, both fathers never gave up on me. They loved me just the same, for they knew I wasn't without flaws. And as a father, I too love my daughter and want the best for her no matter what life brings her way. Going back to my youth, I thought I had to be perfect in the eyes of my dad, but all he wanted was for me to be my very best. What I'm trying to say is that usually fathers are there to help and often guide us, to steer us straight, or help us up when we fall. For an example, falling off a bike. Fathers help dust you off, check for damages, and reassures you that a fall is just an action that lets you know that you may have done something wrong, but it's not the end of the world. We are challenged to get back onto that bike, but to remember what occurred before and try a new approach. I can hear my father's voice saying, "You may fall again, but don't give up. Push forward, for proceeding can bring you the pleasure of accomplishing your goals." And my dad's favorite empowering words were, "Failure is not an option." It was inspiring to hear it coming from him, whether it was his own words or someone else's. I, as a father, may not approve or agree with everything my daughter has done or will do, but I will embrace her with fatherly love. God, our Father in heaven, wants the same for us. We may stumble and fall or even step out of character, but he doesn't want us to give up, and he doesn't expect for us to be perfect, for he gave us free will to make choices no matter what they are. And like a loving father, if we stray, he's there with open arms to embrace us, accept us back, and forgive us of our sins. This is my story and my life. Happy Father's Day.
ATNC, this is Taylor. here to share some of my experience with my own dad. When I was 5, I met my dad at a Fazoli's, an Italian fast food restaurant in Newport News, Virginia. My mom, recently divorced, had met a man at Costco where they both worked. They hit it off immediately, started dating, and a month later it came time to introduce us. I remember walking into the restaurant, trembling with nervous anticipation. I was a shy kid, and the idea of meeting a man much older than I was, a stranger, was terrifying to me. Looking around the dining room, I wondered if any of the men I saw were him. Was it one of the men standing alone in line? We turned to the row of tables on the side of the restaurant, largely empty except for a man sitting alone, thin, with dark black hair like Pierce Brosnan and Goldeneye. He looked at us, smiled, and I looked away at once. Arriving at the table, he stood up. Introductions were had, and we sat down, me and my mom sitting across from him. For the rest of lunch, I remember sliding under the table, too nervous to even look at him. It's strange to speak about that moment. I had no idea that I had just met my dad. More than 20 years later, and that meeting becomes imbued with ultimate significance. Fazoli's, a fast food restaurant of all places, became the watershed moment of my life. I had no idea that months later I would be saying I love you as he left for work, that soon it would become so weird to call him by his name that the only sensible thing would be to call him Dad. I had no idea that it would be so easy to forget that technically he wasn't my dad by blood, but it didn't matter because he was my dad, and blood in the end didn't seem to matter much. And why was that? Why was it so easy for me to call him Dad? Two words, presence and action. Love is far from a noun. It's a living, breathing thing, a process that is visible through its continuation. There is hardly ever one moment of love, but many, to where it becomes hard to distinguish the part from the entirety, like it's hard to distinguish the different parts of the river. It's one seamless whole. He didn't have to be my dad. He chooses every day to be my dad. To end, I just want to say thank you to all the fathers, by blood or no, that choose to be there every day, through the ups and downs, showing your love by your words and your deeds. And to my own dad, thank you. I am who I am today because you chose to be my dad, to teach me through your actions how to be a man, a husband, and someday a father. Thank you.
Good morning, TNC family. My name is Christian Jansen. When I was asked to provide some insight or thoughts on Father's Day, I jumped at the opportunity, an opportunity to serve, to communicate. But when I went to record, there was something that stirred within me that I wasn't prepared for. As I began to talk about my own experiences of being a father and the experiences of being a son to a father, it brought up something within me, some strange link to a deep-seated guilt and shame. For the many years that my addiction robbed my children of a loving, kind, and present father. I was always a provider, but not always a father. And that disturbed me. Fatherhood is a mirror, a reflection of all the wonderful and horrible things I am and I have done. I see me in the stick-to-itiveness of my oldest child, Jolie, the conviction of my middle child, Bella, and the creative expression in my youngest, my son, Emmanuel. I have a photo of my children with "We love you, Dad," on the bottom of all their feet, lined up on a skateboard. A gift I received nearly 1 year after leaving inpatient rehab for drugs and alcohol abuse. I was not only addicted, but at times I was self-consumed, demonstrative, a dictator. And I see those traits in my children as well. My own father was a hard-working provider who did what it took to make sure we had everything we needed. He was also a verbally abusive alcoholic. And like most childhoods, it was not always bad. There were many times that I look back fondly on my growing up in Bakersfield, California. It would be in my late teens until my father would finally find peace and freedom from drugs and alcohol. And today he is one of my closest friends and confidants. Now it's been nearly 9 years since I've used drugs and alcohol to escape. I have been given the chance by the grace of my Creator to break the cycle and the chains of addiction. But even now, I can't help but look upon those lost days with regret. And thanks to a 12-step program, I have learned to not look back on the past and regret, but to use the past to build a better future, to learn from it, to make an amends for the harms done, so that when I see my reflection in my beautiful children, it would be a reflection of the whole and completed being that they are in our Heavenly Father and in Christ Jesus. His will be done. Amen.
Good morning, new community family. I'm Jeff, and it's great to be with you today. From the time David asked me to participate in today's Father's Day celebration, I've been overwhelmed with the nonstop thoughts and memories I've had. Memories of my own father and of being a father to my son, and for the past 7 years, the blessing of my three stepdaughters having been added to my life. To begin, I'd like to share a memory or two about my own father. Growing up, there were times we didn't have much by way of material things, but I never missed a meal, never had to sleep without a roof over my head, and never went without something to wear. My dad made a lot of mistakes, just like all of us do, but with each passing year since he went to be with Jesus, I realized more and more how many things he did right. With the greatest thing he ever did being to let me know that no matter what, I was loved by him. I now see that I have learned far more from him than I ever realized at the time he was teaching me. As for my incredible son, Jordan, bless his heart, he was the recipient of so many mistakes I made as a father. But today, if he were here with us, I know he would tell you he has never doubted my love for him. And for the past 7 years, I believe Tiffany, Heather, and Brittany would say the same thing. From day one in my relationship with these amazing young women, there has been an understanding that I treat them like they're mine, and they return the favor by treating me like I'm theirs. And as the senior father in today's group that is sharing, there are a couple of things I want to leave with the fathers listening today. First, real fathers are fathers who are real. On one hand, kids will respect when their fathers are real, because being real is so important in any relationship. But it cannot be overstated how critical this is with kids. Because on the other hand, kids will reject and even rebel against the things they see that are false or fake coming from their fathers. So as dads, I pray that we will all be fathers who are real. Second, when those times come, and if they haven't yet, they will, probably, when as a dad, we may hear things like, I can't wait until I'm old enough to get away from you, or I can't stand that you're my dad, or even the dreaded words, I hate you. Please don't react to these words in haste if they happen, but take a moment to choose to respond by allowing ourselves to hear what's really behind their words of anger. when what they are really saying is, Dad, I need you. I always have and I always will. And with that, as dads, let's all let them know that we are here for them no matter what comes, through good times, hard times, at all times. It's the least we can do in light of the truth that this is exactly what our perfect Father in heaven does for all of us. Happy Father's Day, fathers.
Well, I hope you have enjoyed and been encouraged by these perspectives as much as I have. And I wish you all again a very happy Father's Day. Will you pray with me now? To our good Father who art in heaven, the heavens that are all around us, not far away, to our heavenly Father who is with us in our space and in our places. God, we thank you for the men in our lives who have nurtured and inspired and guided and loved us. We thank you for how you have moved in us to learn from them and to apply their wisdom and their strength and their love. And we pray too that you would bless every man listening now. May they know your joy and grace and strength. May they feel your peace and purpose. And may they feel our love and respect for them today as well. Amen.